All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Jeff Haley. I want to thank everybody for joining our call again this week. I hope you find these calls beneficial. Today, what we're going to do is get updates from several banks as to their branch operations and what they're doing to accommodate their staff. And I think we've done a good job of getting the small, medium, and large banks to speak today. We're also going to be asking for ideas for future weekly topics, things that you'd like to hear about or talk about. And we will devote a reasonable portion of this call for Q&A. For anybody that was not with us last week, let me just take a minute to review the call logistics. We are recording this call, so you will be able to listen to it later. Please feel free to share the link with anybody, any co-worker, board members, anyone you think is appropriate. Finally, we will have some time on the call for participants to ask questions. Everyone received an email from Bruce this morning with instructions on how to ask the question by using *9, or you can simply send Bruce an email with your question, and we'll do our best to answer it. Now, let's just kind of move on, excuse me, to the call. Bruce is going to give us just an overall update before any of the bankers speak about kind of what's going on from his side. Bruce?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone. I just want to touch on three things briefly. Things are moving so quickly that I know we're all sort of in information overload. So I want to distill down to just two or three things that I think are the most important to cover at this point. First, you probably saw Friday's interagency statement on loan modifications. And that statement is on our resources page. And we'll send a link to that with a follow-up email after today's call. But I encourage you to make sure you take a look at that and the messaging from the regulators about loan modifications. Second, I'm sure you all saw that Governor Northam issued an executive order yesterday that goes into effect at midnight tonight, and it created a list of essential businesses that includes banks and other financial institutions. It also lists businesses that must close, and those really kind of have to do with where there would be close proximity between people or among people. Importantly, the governor continues to focus on the no more than 10 people gathered in any one place as the enforcement mechanism, as opposed to a shelter in place requirement, which we've seen in other states. And so the governor's office has confirmed to us that no bank employee should need any unique ID to travel to and from work. Now, that said, you all can certainly still issue something to your employees or give them a copy of the PDF from Treasury that we emailed to you the other night if it adds peace of mind. But there should not be any requirement for the ID. I also want to mention that Matt Bruning is doing a great job staying in constant contact with the governor's office as this has been developing. The last thing I want to mention is the pending legislation in Congress that is sitting in the Senate right now, and hopefully there will be agreement reached as early as today and the bill will pass and be signed into law this week. It's being called the CARES Act. That's the acronym. And importantly, among the major things, the very first Title I is called the Paycheck Protection Program. This would grant, and this is expected to become part of the law, this would grant SBA the ability to guarantee loans in the 7A program up to about $350 billion with a B, with delegated authority for all SBA lenders. 7A loan max is increased to $10 million. The guarantee is raised from 75% to 100% for loans made through this calendar year. Borrower and lender fees are waived. Most Virginia banks are already at least have a basic agreement in place with SBA, we're going to send in our follow-up email a list to you of all the banks, and this would just be Virginia headquartered banks, that already have agreements in place with SBA, and also contact information for the office in Richmond. They don't really have all the information yet, because this is not yet law, on how to fast track gaining for your bank delegated authority to proceed with these 100% guarantee loans for small businesses. But it would be a good idea to go ahead and contact them and start a dialogue as soon as possible. So watch for that follow-up email. We were on a call with all state associations and the ABA yesterday evening with SBA Administrator Javita Carranza and several other senior folks from SBA. And the scope of this is massive compared to anything they've ever done. And in fact, the bill also includes $10 billion in funding for SBA to stand up the program. But they are committed to getting guidance out based on the statute within a matter of days, even as they work on writing regulations for this, and to being as flexible as you've ever seen and as nimble as they possibly can be. So they really want to get as much of this $350 billion out as quickly as possible to really help those companies affected by the coronavirus to meet their payroll, keep employees employed, keep themselves in business. So watch for a lot more information, not only in our follow-up email, but as soon as this bill becomes law. I'll also mention that another title, as it's currently drafted, not yet approved, but as it's currently drafted, would authorize FDIC to reestablish the TAG program, Transaction Account Guarantee Program, would reduce the community bank leverage ratio from 9 to 8%, would provide temporary relief from TDR accounting rules and from CECL for those banks that already had to implement CECL. So we'll be pushing more information as soon as it's available. And Jeff Haley, Mr. Chairman, back to you.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. So now what we're going to do is listen to some of our friends and colleagues, just kind of hopefully point out some things they're doing that might make us think about things that we're doing in our own organizations. So, Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you, Scott Harvard.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Bruce. I appreciate everybody being on. It just seems like it was a month ago that we met last week and talked about the environment that we're working in. One of my officers on a meeting a couple of days ago observed that this is a little bit like building an airplane while you're flying. And that's the way many of us feel here in the bank. Bruce, thanks for your support and the BBA's support. I think it's y'all have been real leaders, and we appreciate that. And the other thing that I think is really bodes well for all of us and has been helpful to certainly to me has been bankers who have shared with each other like we're doing this morning. I have a handful of bankers, peers, and competitors that we've been running ideas by each other, and it's been really helpful. So thank you all for that. A couple of things that that we've been doing, and we were talking about branch operations. Bruce wanted me to mention that. A week ago, I don't think many of us were seriously contemplating closing our branches and or limiting hours. And by the end of the week, most of us were either there or finding our way there. At First Bank, we last Thursday decided to limit access to lobbies, and you now have access by appointment only. And we are really directing everybody through the drive-ins. The drive-in hours are unchanged. As of yesterday, we required that our tellers begin wearing gloves, that is, our tellers at the drive-in. But to date, all of our branches remain open and accessible, again, with limited opportunities to come into the lobbies. If we see an outflow of employees due to the new FMLA requirements, we may have to revisit that, but at this point, we expect to keep all of our branches accessible, at least through the drive-in. We have been tracking our cash, as I'm sure most of y'all have. Our ATM use is actually normal to a little bit lower over the last couple of weeks. Our large cash withdrawals have been few. I think that we've had three or four transactions at the $10,000 cash level. For our bank, a size of $800 million. So are not seeing significant demand there. We've also been tracking our lines of credit and the usage there, and have seen, I'll say, minimal increases in line use at this point. So that's something that we've been tracking. As far as communications, we have been communicating with our customers. We've communicated with them twice. First, really with a pretty high level reassuring communication, letting them know that we actually have a pandemic plan and that we were operating from that, and to reassure them and frankly our employees as well. The second communication was about limiting our lobby hours for the health of our customers and employees. So those went out by email as well as on social media. And the limited feedback that we've gotten has been really well received from our customers. We have a third communication going to our customers today related to our payment deferral program, which others may have more to talk about this morning. And then we've also communicated two emails with all of our employees broadly. We have a standing conference call among our branch managers every day, a standing conference call among our business development officers every day, and a standing conference call among our pandemic team every day. Those meetings are generally brief, but keeping everybody up to date with what's really happening on the ground, and we found that they're really helpful. As far as how we're operating, our team is exclusively in telephonic meetings, including people that are in the same building or on the same floor. We're typically meeting telephonically. We've tested our remote technology separately and all at once, and that's working well. We have rolling remote work interdepartmentally so that we're really trying to split people up and not have concentrations of folks in any one area. Some of our departments, including our accounting department, is exclusively remote right now, and it seems to be working well. And we're considering perhaps a daily stipend for required in-person work days, still yet to be determined there. But that's what we're doing operationally. A lot of challenges, obviously. Before I wrap up, I want to mention a conversation I had with the chief credit officer at the Federal Home Loan Bank last night. I know most of y'all are members of the bank and interested in whether any payment modifications and deferments might affect your collateral at the Federal Home Loan Bank as you're looking at liquidity needs. And they assured me that that they're tackling that issue. In fact, there should be some guidance that comes out related to that sometime this morning that I think will meet most of the expectations of our banking members related to loan modifications and loan forbearance. So more to come on that, but expect to receive some guidance from the Federal Home Loan Bank in that regard this morning. So, Jeff, that's, I guess, in a nutshell, a quick and dirty what we're up to at First Bank right now.
Great. Scott, thank you very much. Very insightful comments. Dan O'Neill's with us. And, Dan, I think, you know, the size of y'all's company, many of us are just anxious to hear how are things with y'all and just some thoughts about what your company is doing.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, and good morning, everybody. Really challenging times for our industry. I hearken back to when I was a baby banker in 1987 with a large broker-dealer lending book based in New York. And this is a lot tougher and more complicated than that. And for all the planning on disaster recovery that all of our institutions have done over the last several years after the Great Recession, there are just some things that you can't think through, and there are events that are just exogenous outside of your control, the black swan events, whatever you want to call them. But I think we're all dealing with that right now. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, being creative, flexible, and client focused. I think that's, you know, the order of the day. And at Truist, as you know, we closed our merger at the beginning of December of last year. And so, you know, we're sort of past the getting to know you phase, and we're working well as teams. And I think this obviously market challenge is put our creativity to the test, but also working together and acknowledging, you know, the flexibility requirements for a lot of our teammates presently with all the issues around school closings and other obligations at home. And so we've done a couple of things relative to branch operations and working with our teammates. On the branch side, pretty similar to the tone that Scott was talking about and other banks have done. You know, it's interesting. For a large bank, we've got something like 2,000 branches around the United States, and we've got a large percentage that have drive-thrus. It's about 90% of those branches that have drive-thrus. That's kind of unusual when you compare us to some of the other large bank. I think it reflects a lot of the community-focused nature of what Truist is, really. It put us in a position where we could go and close the lobbies in a couple of the branches throughout the system. And we've done that basically across the board and started that on Saturday. And, you know, people can access the lobbies by appointment only, as Scott had also mentioned. And we've got full staffs in the branches. And some of those are helping support the flow going through the drive-thrus, and they're also doing some additional client service activities on the phones. So we haven't altered, you know, how we're staffing the branches, and we haven't altered hours yet. Obviously, this is a dynamic situation, and we're looking at it every day. The reference was made about, you know, ATM usage and whatnot, and I would say ATM usage has picked up a little bit more in the last week. But you know, I would say it's nothing that's extraordinary. Also, you know, cash withdrawals and other things like that, we have not seen a ton of that. I have heard from some other banks that the necessity to keep some larger denominated bills, because they are getting requests for, you know, 4,000, 5,000 in cash, et cetera. But it doesn't seem like there's anything that's really extraordinary going on with cash and gathering cash or hoarding, like you see with a lot of other commodities and just goods in general. The other thing that we've been working really hard on is providing some flexible, you know, work remotely programs for a lot of our teammates. We've organized a move in waves. So, for example, within the commercial community bank of Truist, we've got about 50% of the folks working remotely from home for the most part, and 50% of the folks in the office. And as you would expect with, you know, some critical internal operational roles, some of those, you know, we need folks in the seat doing certain things. We're trying to be more flexible with that as well. Again, that's another situation that's evolving. The employees, for the most part, have been embracing all the changes that we've done relative to, you know, work-at-home programs and some other things. We had a pretty successful work-at-home program to begin with, so we had a number of people that were used to working remotely. So we, you know, from a technology standpoint, we're pretty well prepared for that. But as you know, you're never really fully prepared for something that is sort of off the charts to model. So, you know, things like getting laptops for some folks, getting some additional system access and things like that, those are things that, you know, obviously you got to get done and done quickly. So those are sort of the unintended consequences of some of this. But a lot of our, you know, client contact obviously, is by phone. A lot of clients that we had, you know, meetings set up with, et cetera, have said, hey, you know, I'd love to meet, but let's just do it virtually. I think you're probably all seeing that. One thing that we did do for our employees has to do with just sort of the extraordinary things that are happening. We decided to pay a $1,200 bonus to those teammates who make $100,000 and less, just as, you know, a demonstration of support, because, you know, folks' lives are complicated, and there are a lot of people that are caring for older parents, that are caring for children, et cetera. We also expanded some of our leave policies that involve, you know, natural disasters, so that folks could take advantage of some of those paid leave policies. So if they had to take care of children at home, or somebody else who had you know, a disability, or et cetera, they were able to do that. So I think, you know, as we've rolled out some of these programs and gotten reactions on things, we've identified other areas that we think we can support. So we're trying to be nimble on that. And obviously, we've got a couple other things that we're probably going to roll out for additional teammate support. You know, again, flexibility is sort of the order of the day. On deposits in general, I think, you know, deposits have been generally strong for us. I think some businesses that are testing their lines of credit. Some of them are sitting on abnormally large levels of cash. Some of that is industry specific. So, for example, healthcare industry, you know, large hospitals, et cetera, they've got to buy a lot of supplies. They've got other things that, you know, they're trying to plan for, you know, worst case scenarios. That's an issue where you're seeing folks that are running those enterprises are sitting on some more cash and looking for more liquidity. It's interesting to me that we haven't heard more broad conversations about federal loan programs for healthcare providers. I noticed that, you know, we talk a lot about airlines and small businesses and other things like that, but there's a lot of large healthcare providers that are big employers that I haven't heard that there are targeted loan programs for, but just, you know, an interesting observation. On the credit side, we did install a deferral program for clients to help them get through this tough time. We sort of drew it between small companies and large companies. The amount of volume we're getting is extremely large for requests for deferrals, and as you would expect, you know, the industries, whether it's you know, service industries that support hospitality, entertainment, some of those that are in you know, the wholesale food business that supply restaurants and hotels and et cetera, a lot of folks like that are asking for some relief, and we've installed a 90-day, you know, program to evaluate, you know, what's going on, because, you know, on the other side of this, you know, whenever that is, you know, some of these companies are going to continue to have challenges, and others are going to continue to perform well if we get a bounce back. But, you know, our focus is, you know, taking some of the pressure off those clients and off the system. So in dealing with, say, loans that are under $5 million, we have a very simple, streamlined, quick process to get these people the time that they need. We also have a small loan program of sort of emergency funds for those that need a shot of liquidity. Again, that's focused mostly at smaller businesses. And we're seeing a lot of requests. You know, our centralized lending unit, which is outside of Richmond, that handles a lot of the activity in the United States for Truist, is seeing, you know, probably four times the normal volume they would see on a heavy application submission day. So anyway, you know, as I said before, these are unusual times. We're pulling out a lot of different plays out of the playbook and some things that weren't there to begin with. I think there's some good conversation going on amongst the banks, and I think these forums are incredibly valuable, I know, to me and to others that I talk to. But we're doing okay, and our clients are staying, I think, incredibly calm given the circumstances. I know that that has ratcheted up a bit, especially in the last 2 weeks. But I still think the level of calm amongst a lot of these companies has been impressive. I don't know, you know, how that will migrate over the next couple of weeks, because obviously this all reacts to market events, news, et cetera, and market psychology is just very volatile, and it can just be, you know, very harmful too. But anyway, yeah. That's what's going on at Truist, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank Dan, you. Dan, thank you very much. Very, very valuable information. So, hey, Leighton, what's going on in your world?
Well, many of the things that I alluded to already, Jeff, as you might expect, is there are good common sense approaches to doing businesses. A few things I might highlight in addition to what Dan and Scott have shared. You know, taking sort of a cue from the VBA in terms of, you know, communicating the aspects of the entire industry in terms of the Commonwealth, you know, majority of institutions in this area are community-based, locally owned. So we've worked very closely with one another, trying to have kind of a common approach to doing things. If Robert Coffey and Lee Lanningham and Bill Sage are on the line, you know, there are three institutions that are headquartered in Lee County. Actually, what we did in announcing our the change in plans relative to operations to appointment in the lobby and drive up open, we did a joint press release of all three institutions. And it sort of takes a little bit of the pressure off as far as trying to decide, do I do something, do I not do something? I think the same applied for Robert and Bill. And I encourage banks and communities to sort of continue that, even if there's slight variations to maybe your approaches, just the context that we're all working here. This is not a competitive situation. It's more of a patriotic kind of situation. Some other aspects, I suspect, you know, I've been with a lot of extra time. I've been going in my garage and reorganizing and cleaning, and I'm finding all these tools that I forgot I had. And, you know, for our organization, you know, we've been doing secure email exchange. You can ask for information on our website. You can even contact us. So we've kind of gone back through those tools and see how we can brush them up or enhance them to allow greater communication from our customer base to our bankers. If you go to our homepage right now, for example, you can just schedule an appointment from there. So I would encourage institutions, you know, to sort of go back and look through some of the tools you already have in place. I was referencing with Scott and Jeff earlier as we were getting prepared for the call that in some instances, and someone had made this comment, I think that we've kind of had these tools, electronic and communication and the ability to work remotely and not ask people to get in the car and drive an hour for a meeting, but it's just a sort of a habit in the way we've done things. And I think this has just elevated all those resources we have. And once we get past this, I think the nature of perhaps how we run our banks or how the industry works will change significantly. One aspect, too, that I encourage you to do is to kind of go back and look at your payment programs. We're a Fiserv bank. They have a product called Pop Money, which is basically a person-to-person program that we have used for a few years. Of course, we evaluate and go into other things. But I noticed I had an email from Fiserv that they were going to start limiting, due to risk, Pop Money transfers to a smaller dollar amount. And I'm at a point now where I'm thinking, you know, maybe I want, as the bank, to take the risk. I don't necessarily want that decision to be made by my vendor. So we reached out to them and said that, you know, this was probably one of the worst times that they could have made the decision based upon risk. And if the institution was willing to take the risk, they should allow us to do so. So you want to go back and take a look at that. I think in terms of your ability to transmit funds and things electronically. Another aspect that I would say is, in terms of what Dan had shared, you know, we are and have been actively reaching out to our customers, business customers, and individuals. Well, in a community bank like ours, we're going to have limited resources, but I do anticipate we'll have a number of modifications in addition to renewals and probably some new loan requests. So I reached out last night to our audit team and operations team, and we have some people in those two areas who have background in terms of loan processing, loan administration. And so for a period of time, we will kind of shift those individuals over so that some of the people who've been reviewing credits can actually go in and do the input into the system. And we'll have to put on hold for a bit some of our audits or other projects, but that's just some things. So I would encourage you to kind of step back and do sort of an inventory of your talent, even if they're a bit rusty themselves. It's been a couple of years since they may have worked in the lending area. This, to me, is an all-hands-on-deck scenario, particularly in the lending area. One aspect, too, we have begun thinking about, we have all these projects, CIF report cleanups, as FISR calls them, loan exceptions, we need an insurance policy on Jeff Haley, just can't get Jeff to get it to us. So we've had regular calls in preparation, did this yesterday, to engage some of our staff, such as tellers who may have less work to do, get in and type up letters or make phone calls to insurance agents, as an example, that, hey, we need that insurance policy on Jeff. It keeps them busy and it helps us take care of some rather routine or mundane things that just kind of linger out there, given the day-to-day, traditional day-to-day pressures of just getting things done. FISERV, in terms of our conversation with FISERV, is going to begin a peer session. Actually, we have our first one this afternoon with institutions about our size and in our geographic area. You may ask your IT folks if to reach out to FIS or FISERV or Jack Henry and see if that's something that they would offer, particularly for your institutions in your peer group. There may only be a few things that benefit you in that area, but at this point, anything that makes life easier for our employees and our customers, I think will be extremely meaningful. And then finally, I would leave with you, in our conversations with our local county government, today at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a conference call sponsored by the county government, but we'll engage government officials, businesses, and financial institutions just to kind of talk about, what's taking place, how things are going. And from our perspective, I think engaging in these non-banking related sort of dialogues, if you will, or non-bank centric dialogues will allow us to continue to get out a positive message about our industry, the willingness of not only our institution, but all of the institutions to work with customers, that as soon as we learn things in terms of SBA loans, as Bruce alluded to earlier, or other government subsidies, we'll be happy to disseminate that information, offer training sessions, and as we're hearing on this call, that all banks are willing and have direction from their regulatory authorities to work with customers in terms of prudent and defensible practices. So those are the kinds of things. I would say we're also working, Scott, on an ESP team so we can communicate telepathically, but we still have a ways to go with that. So thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Leighton, thank you very much. I believe John Asbury with Atlantic Union has joined us. John? All right, John. Did you press *9? Monica, do you see him?
I haven't seen him join yet, but I will keep an eye on him.
He texted me, said he was on. All right, well, look, let me give you just a couple bullet points for American National. Number one, obviously, information is key to all of us. I have found valuable. A lot of the investment banking firms are doing weekly calls Raymond James is doing one on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Just really any development over the weekend and to prepare us for the week. KBW is doing one on Friday at 4 o'clock, kind of wrapping up the week. I know Sandler's doing one. I have not listened in on theirs, but I have found Raymond James and KBW's very valuable. If anybody wants that information, shoot me an email and I'll send it to you. Monica, by the way, John just texted me and says he has pressed star 9. Do you see?
Okay. Let me check.
All right. I'm going to keep on. We have created a crisis fund for our staff that face catastrophic financial issues. So we have communicated the details of that to them, and they know how to take advantage of us. We have also, we know how many of our staff have child care age children. We have provided them 10 extra days of time, paid time off, and we've asked them to use it only in the case where they have no other option. And we have found that they've been very judicious in doing so. We obviously have a plan for consolidating our branches and markets. And it's not really for the virus, but it's simply for efficiency. We're monitoring the transactions, and we have limits. If a branch is only doing a few transactions, we will close that office temporarily and move that staff to a busier office. A little bit to Leighton's point, the business community in Danville has created a conference call for our nonprofits. We're all trying to take a look at what are going to be the emerging issues for the disadvantaged in our community. One thing, a little bit like Truist, not exactly, but we pay annual bonuses, and they were not scheduled to be paid for several pay periods. That was for 2019 performance. We've accelerated that and are paying that this Friday. Talked to a CEO friend of mine in Illinois. They are marketing, encouraging their people, their customers, not to use currency because of the virus, to use plastic. So a little bit as it relates to the run on cash, we're just strongly encouraging the use of plastic and electronic banking products. That's what we're doing. That's unusual. That has not been said this morning. And with that, I'm going to call on John Asbury to speak about Atlantic Union. John.
Thanks, Jeff. Can you hear me now?
I got you.
All right. Good. Thanks. Good morning. I joined in progress. I heard most of Dan O'Neill's comments, so I'm not sure what was said ahead of it. I'll try to move quickly and efficiently through this and cover a number of issues and see if I can answer any questions from our standpoint. I'll talk about quickly branch operations, corporate operations, customer behavior, and then I do have a couple of things that may be interesting from a regulatory standpoint. Our branch operations are not dissimilar to what most people are doing. Last Thursday, we closed the branch lobbies, I should say, except for by appointment, relying on drive-through and alternative delivery. We did close two branches that did not have drive-throughs, and that's not been a factor. We are reducing Saturday hours, and so in larger metro markets, we've effectively gone down to more of a hub system, so we'll have fewer branches that were open on Saturday. One of the things we're organizing around is effectively trying to set up rotational teams in the branches. We haven't reduced branch staffing yet, but we're getting ready to. We have had a couple of situations last week, only a small number, where we've actually had to close the branch during the course of the day due to a fear of contamination. And that's where, you know, someone believed they had been exposed to someone who had been diagnosed with coronavirus, et cetera. That is something you need to prepare for. The psychology of this situation is really, really important. And so what we want to do is, if we find out that one of our branch personnel was diagnosed with coronavirus, and thankfully at the moment we have none in our company, but I suspect that will change, we need to be in a position where we can, you know, immediately close the area, clean it, and then have another team ready to go, because we could end up quickly with a fair number of people in quarantine. So it's important to think about that there's no question that we can run branches under this mode with fewer people than we had before. I can tell you that we haven't seen a lot of abnormal behavior yet. There have been some instances of customers walking in wanting, you know, unusually large amounts of cash to basically stockpile at home. We are told that some of the large national banks have actually taken cash withdrawal limits to very low levels, like $2,500, et cetera. We've not done that, but that, you know, that's something to be mindful of. I think we're running something like 1.9 times normal cash levels in the vault across the branch system. Moving on to corporate operations, kind of to the point that I heard Leighton say, you know, it's amazing the tools you have that you didn't even know about. You know, to my astonishment, is I'm sitting here in my home today, and we have 80% of non-branch people in our company. That's over 1,000 people working remotely. So we have taken a very conservative approach to this. We're very concerned about the potential for contamination among the teams and in the key sites. Thankfully, our technology folks had the foresight years ago to go to laptops as the standard, not desktops. So most of our people were equipped to be able to work from home. And I am just amazed. It's actually going pretty darn smoothly, and we'll be in this mode for a while. A concern that the board has had, and we've discussed among what I call the executive leadership team, which are my direct reports and the presidents, we do have everyone separated. We don't want a situation where that we end up having several of the senior executives in quarantine because they were together. So, you know, for the duration, we'll have them working apart. And I think that that's actually a pretty good practice and something to think about. Let me think about other things that would be of interest. From a commercial standpoint, we've not had a flood of activity yet as it relates to customer deferral requests, but we expect that that's coming. Like all of you, you know, we've been on the phone beginning last Monday talking to our commercial borrowers. We do have a deferral program up and running. We're beginning to use it. Most of the feedback we're getting from our commercial and business customer base right now is they're putting together their own game plans. Didn't need anything for the most part at this moment, but that's about to change, we think. So we'll be getting organized and ready for that. So Jeff, as I think about it, again, back to Leighton's point, we have tools available to us that we didn't even know about, except for a small number of people in technology. For example, I had no idea that we could route the bank's telephony through laptop computers. You know, yeah, we didn't know that. Yeah. So people can, you probably have that available to you if you need it. We've got 70% of our call center personnel working from home. Wow. We had a small number of work from home call center people as sort of an experiment, and I'm glad we did that. And the optimist in me does believe that on the other side of this, we're going to have, we will work differently and customers will bank differently, but that's for another day.
Okay.
Jeff, a couple of quick industry things.
Go ahead. Yep.
I'm sorry. I'll make this fast, but FDIC insurance, unlimited FDIC insurance is clearly on the table. I was on a call last night with Midsize Bank Coalition, of which we're members, and that's something to pay attention to. Most likely will take the form of unlimited transaction account guarantees. And then also you'll want to pay attention to the potential for SBA 100% loan guarantee programs for business interruption. That's on the docket. And then the Federal Reserve Bank is also considering a 100% business loan guarantee program that's to be determined. So I'll be quiet with that.
Okay, thanks. And I should have mentioned we're going to go to a virtual shareholder meeting. I know most of us have our shareholder meetings coming up soon. We're taking steps to do that virtually. All right. So that's the feedback from some of your friends and your colleagues. What I'm going to do now is to see if we've got any questions. And I'm going to ask you to press *9, and then Monica will signal you to speak or email Bruce. Do we have any questions?
Yep, there's a couple here, Jeff. So I'm going to unmute the first one.
All right.
Hey, Jeff. This is Jeff Sapersky calling. How are you doing?
A couple things.
We had an ABA board meeting, 3-hour board meeting yesterday, which was our regularly scheduled thing. Just want to add a few updates to that. Just as you all are aware, they're doing everything they can on the regulatory and legislative side, going full tilt on that. One thing I would say is anything that you are doing as it relates to supporting your community, supporting your business customers, make sure the ABA knows, because there's been a lot of these negotiations, you know, an intent to use the crisis to sort of clamp down. And some of the things the ABA has shown that communities or community banks are already doing, or banks in general are already doing, has deflected that momentum as far as them trying to mandate a lot of stuff down on banks to alleviate this problem. So send that information. It matters probably now more than ever. One of the issues brought up was just the communication, making sure, you know, Jeff, back to your comment, that no good deed goes unpunished. Really aware of a lot of these concessions that banks are making, trying to get in writing from the primarily the regulatory agencies an affirmation of what's going on here. One of the messages that they're really trying to stick to on the regulatory and especially the legislative front is the things that banks are doing, we're not using this as an opportunity to any bank gain. This is strictly client and customer focus, helping our communities. Any taint of banks trying to use this as an opportunity to get this would really turn on us quickly. So from a messaging perspective, there's nothing that's being put into this other than customer focus stuff. So that's really important that we all communicate that too. Related to the SBA program, I know there's going to be a webinar, ABA webinar Thursday morning, even though that information is still moving. Hopefully by Thursday morning, it'll be finalized enough. And so there's a webinar Thursday morning that specifically is just going to address the provisions of what the SBA guarantee program looks like, you know, the 100%, all that stuff that we've talked about. I will also say that on the ABA website, get your folks to go. There's a group site, like a divided online chat, really for like groups related to the coronavirus. So I know a lot of people have their in-state peer groups. This would expand it nationally. So if they're looking for information to share and get information back, I would encourage them to go join that site, because there's a lot of data being supplied there. And then just from a messaging perspective too, one of the board members brought up, and I think rightfully so, was, you know, it concerned that it could only take one talking head talking about people needing to go get their cash from the banks. That could have a really deleterious effect. And so I know from a communication perspective, Peter Cook at the ABA said he's had several conversations with media over the past week, talking them back from the cliff, and all the reporters and stuff are being very respectful of that right now as far as the liquidity issue. But right now, as Rob Nichols described it, sort of liquidity and banks having run on cash is sort of the catnip for the reporting for media community right now. So any messaging we do around that, I think what I heard today is there hadn't been a lot so far. We just need to be very delicate with the way we talk about that, just so we stick to the message. We also had Senator Crapo on the line at the end of our meeting, and he talked in general about the bill, which they're trying to get through the Senate. He's optimistic that it will get through. He mentioned all the provisions of the SBA loan, what Bruce mentioned, the $350 billion. That is really not the part that's in contention so much now. Is there's the total bill right now, as of yesterday, is $1.9 billion. There's $1.9 trillion. $500 billion of it relates to, can't remember the exact name of it, hold on, but it relates to funding mechanisms really for mid-range firms. And the concern there, the politics, is called the Economic Stabilization Fund. $75 billion of it would go directly to Treasury for direct loans and go into airlines, Boeing, GE, really infrastructure-related things. $425 billion remainder would go to an exchange stabilization fund that the Treasury would keep and give to the Fed. And the Fed would lend out under called their 13-3 facilities. That is what's bogged it down, because the concern is that money's only going to go to entities who are in good stead with the current administration, which Senator Crapo thought was a bunch of bunk. But he said that's the pushback on that. But most of all the other provisions are not the holdups. And back to Dan O'Neill's point on health care, one of the six provisions of this bill goes to appropriations. That amount started off at $40 billion. Is now up at $240 billion, but some of that infrastructure money is going specifically to healthcare infrastructure to try to address their immediate needs. So just a little update of what's going on in D.C., but I would encourage you to get your information up there.
Very valuable. Jeff, did you hear anything specifically about hospitality in any of those discussions?
Okay. They did not mention direct loans to industries. They did not mention hospitality.
Okay. All right, Monica, other questions?
I actually don't see any more at this time. The one other one, they canceled their hand raise. So, unless Bruce has any from his email.
Bruce, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. There was a question about what are we doing with shareholder meetings. so we may actually do a little poll on that. There is one bank that is putting cash and deposits in, deposit slips, et cetera, in quarantine for a week due to the concerns over how the virus might be transmitted. That's just an FYI. There's a question about cleaning contractors that we know are actually doing the deep cleaning that we might need in branches, like in the circumstance that John Asbury described. So we may actually poll on that question as well, Jeff. And just on Jeff Sapersky's point, on our resource page, there's a link to the ABA summary that has what a whole bunch of banks have reported to ABA they're doing. And some of your banks are already on there, but it would be great to get a lot more of that. So we'll highlight that in our follow-up email as well. And I believe that the SBA webinar on the new SBA programs that Jeff mentioned, I think is going to be at 1 p.m. on Thursday, and that's going to be in our follow-up email as well.
All right, let me check, Monica, one more time. Any more questions?
I don't see any more on here.
Jeff?
Yeah, Leighton.
And Bruce, I guess... what this shifting has to political, based upon Jeff Sapersky's comments, what, if any, message should we be sending to our elected delegates, congressmen, senators? You know, the thing that I hear now is more and more growing frustration across political spectrums and so forth with the failure to act on this measure. So,
Leighton, I'll take that. We're in touch with our senators and all of our 11 congressional offices, and making sure they understand all the things that banks are doing, sharing our resources with them, et cetera. We're not, I would say that actively lobbying this bill is, it reminds me a little bit of the TARP legislation back in the fall of 08, where no one knew exactly what we should be saying or doing. I think everyone in America wants to see something happen and happen imminently. So if there's any message, it's we need the tools that the legislation will bring as soon as possible. I don't know that we can get much more specific than just we need to see this happen soon.
Agree. Hey, Bruce, is your staff listening in on this call?
Several of the senior staff are definitely on the call, Jeff.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then one last simple question. Does anybody recall, Bruce, maybe anybody that's their lines open, how long was the TAG program in place back during the Great Recession? How long did it last?
This is John. I just checked on this last night. I think it was 2 years. If anyone has a different recollection, let me know. Transaction account guarantee covered transaction accounts only, went into effect in 10 and went out, I think, in 12, but correct me if I'm wrong.
But so was it all demand deposit accounts? All demand, or I mean, was it checking, money market, savings?
Non-interest, Jeff.
Yeah, just non-interest bearing, so not money market. Okay. Correct. And then it was extended. It probably was a year initially, and then banks were able to opt in or opt out. The largest banks opted out quickly because they viewed it as a sign of weakness.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, so look, let's kind of go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got one other comment just to, I guess, follow up on yours. We're going to a virtual annual meeting as well, and 3 other bankers that I've talked to are doing the same thing, just FYI. And I see that the Federal Home Loan Bank has scheduled a collateral WebEx for this Friday. So look in your email box for an invitation to that.
Yeah.
All right, and there are some things you've got to do on the virtual WebEx. Get with your legal counsel on that. It's not just as simple as saying you want to do it.
Atlantic Union's doing it as well.
Thank you all.
Yeah. All right, so let's switch real quick and see if we can get any feedback on topics in the future that you'd be interested in hearing about. And I'd say topics or industry expert that you'd be interested in hearing. We'd see if the VBA could pull it off. And I'd ask you to press *9 and just share your thought.
Jeff, this is Lee. I think SBA is top on our list. So.
All right, got it. Monica, anybody raising their hand out there?
I don't see any yet.
All right, well, Bruce, let me reel off a couple just to give thought to. I think an investment banker might be interesting to hear from. Any type of an economist that you could get might be interested. We might be interested in hearing from them. And I do think maybe things just settle down a little bit this week. You know, a combination of our elected officials, you know, a congressman and a senator, something like that. Those are a few I'll throw out.
They're great. And we've also had a suggestion for a regulatory panel, which is, all, you know, to follow up on what we did with Joe Face last week.
Yeah. All right, Monica, what'd you say?
There was one that I just unmuted.
Jeff, this is Litz Van Dyke. Litz. Hey, good morning. Again, appreciate Bruce and all y'all putting this together. It's been very helpful. My question, I guess, or suggested topic would be perhaps someone from the healthcare, the health department or somewhere. I know I heard Scott say they've gone to gloves for tellers. I mean, we've gotten conflicting advice or information, I guess, from different sources as to whether these masks and gloves are effective. We've had some employees come in say they wouldn't work without gloves. Our policy is no gloves at present, but I would like a little clarity around that, just because of the conflicting information we've been getting.
Bruce, we might be able to help with that. Nancy Agee, CEO of Carilion, is on our board.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get one of her infectious people to speak to the group. Let's follow up on that. It is. Other thoughts?
Hey, Jeff, this is John Asbury. Back to this point about gloves, you know, whether they're effective or not effective, the psychology of this is so important. Yes, you should make gloves available. And whether you think they work or don't work, things like more frequent cleaning of facilities, more visible cleaning of facilities, the psychology is very important. There are reports across various industries of people beginning to refuse to work if they're in a position where they have to face off with the general public. And so we are extremely sensitive to this point. And I just can't emphasize enough. We all know it. The psychology of the people matter a lot.
Yeah, agree.
By the way, transaction account guarantee was 2008 through 2012.
Okay. Thank you, John. All right. Do we have any other business? If anybody's got anything else on their mind before we drop off, let's press star 9. Anything else?
And certainly email me after the call.
Yes, feel free to email Bruce. All right, so Bruce, do you want to say anything, wrap up anything?
Great hour, everybody. I love the collegiality of this industry. I always have. It's nothing new, but you are all shining in this moment, and we are going to make sure that everyone knows exactly that. That's all I got, Jeff.
Hey, Bruce, one other thought. You know, Lori Milligan, I don't know if there's anything from the Benefit Corp on this. If there is, maybe we could hear from her. If there's nothing appropriate, don't bother her, but just a thought, okay?
Yeah, I will mention that we're pushing a lot of information out to all of the HR administrators with banks in our plan, but I've got it on the list for a broader thing as well. Thank you.
Okay. All right, guys, everybody, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a great day. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.